colleagues, good morning and welcome to our conference call of the BMW Group first quarter 2016. We have here Harald Krüger, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Friedrich Eichner, Member of the Board of Management of BMW AG in charge of finance. The gentleman will first give you an overview of business development. After that, you'll be given time to ask your questions. I'll pass the floor to Mr. Krüger. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. 2016 marks the year of the BMW Group's centenary. A look at our history clearly shows how our company has successfully transformed over the years from an aircraft engine motorcycle manufacturer to a multi-brand group. From the world's leading producer of premium vehicles to a leading provider of premium mobility and services. Our task now is to prepare our company for the digital transformation taking place in the area of individual mobility. We are turning the BMW Group into a high-tech provider of mobility. Our vision vehicle, the BMW Vision 100, embodies the innovative strength and clear future focus of our company in a very special way. It provides a glimpse into the future of mobility from 2030 on, sustainable, fully connected and highly automated. We are transforming the ultimate driving machine into the ultimate driver. Our focus moving forward will remain on our customers and their individual mobility needs. We want to continue to bring joy to our customers and exceed their expectations with our premium vehicles and premium brands, and more than ever before, with our premium services for individual mobility. This will enable us to make mobility easier, more convenient, and above all, safer for our customers. Ladies and gentlemen, in 2 days' time, I will present the BMW Vision 100 on its world tour in Beijing. Two more Vision vehicles from Mini and Rolls-Royce will be unveiled in London in June. All three vehicles will be shown in Los Angeles in October, along with our Vision on two wheels. So as you can see, we are working hard on creating the future. Our strategy realignment number one next sets two clear target dates, 2020 and 2025. More than ever, we will need to be fast, professional and flexible to master the challenges that lie ahead, but also in our actions and our decision making. Over the last few months, we have already launched the first measures and projects for strategy number one next. These include the new BMW 7 Series with its many technical innovations, our BMW i Performance Fleet, and the new fascinating BMW M2 Coupe. The new BMW 7 Series has been well received by customers. We have already delivered more than 10,500 BMW 7 Series since the beginning of the year. That is over 20% more than during the same period last year. And at the end of March, we launched the 730i, which we expect will boost sales even further. Two additional variants of the 7 Series, the i Performance and M Performance versions, will even give customers more choice. An M vehicle for the luxury class was something many of our customers wanted. And the BMW 740e i Performance, we will show how we transfer BMW i born electric technology into our series vehicles within the BMW brand. As you know, our plug-in hybrid BMWs will be under the label of BMW i Performance. This summer already, customers will have five i Performance models to choose from. This means we will offer a plug-in hybrid for every class, from compact to luxury. The consistent electrification of our vehicle fleet is a key element of strategy number one next. A greater proportion of all electric and plug-in hybrid vehicles within our fleet is essential in order to meet Europe's ambitious CO2 emission targets for 2020. In the first quarter of this year, we sold over 5,000 BMW i3 cars. I'm also delighted that the German government is taking concrete steps to support electric mobility. I'm optimistic that this will increase the demand for our electric cars. In the long term, and we're convinced of this, alternative drivetrains will be an integral part of individual mobility, and we want to be the leader in electric mobility. Ladies and gentlemen, our industry is undergoing a fundamental transformation. Strategy number one next focuses on six key focus areas: brands and design, products, technologies, customer experience and services, digitalization, and profitability. For us, consistent profitability over the long term is a must. It gives us the foundation we need for investing in the future. We must also constantly evaluate our internal structures and processes. Here, we're concentrating on speed and efficiency to prepare our company for the digitization of our vehicles and our production facilities. In the future, our attractive model range will remain fundamental to our success. As part of strategy number one next, we will expand our product portfolio for all of our brands and segments with an additional model for the luxury class, an X7 to complement our X family, and further additions to our M and M performance ranges. I already mentioned the BMW M2 Coupe, a new Rolls-Royce is developed under the project name Cullinan, and most importantly, there'll be new additions to the I family. In the second half of 2016, we will launch another i3 model with 50% more battery capacity, and this will be followed by a BMW i8 Roadster in 2018. In terms of technology, we're working parallel on optimizing our combustion engines with efficient dynamics next, and also in electrification with battery packs and fuel cells. At the beginning of 2020, our new BMW iNext will unite the full range of future features: autonomous driving, digital connectivity, intelligent lightweight construction, and next generation electric mobility. Our goal is set out in strategy number one next. We want to be the leader in the digitization of individual mobility. We will focus on three main areas here: digital customer experience, connected and autonomous driving, and business processes. Mobility services and digital services are already part of our business model today. Drive Now, Park Now, and Charge Now are just three examples. Especially in major cities, customers need seamless and individual mobility solutions. For sustainable urban mobility, the US is our pilot market. In early April, we launched our car-sharing service, Reach Now, in Seattle. The number of people who have registered has far exceeded our expectations. Reach Now is modeled on Drive Now in Europe. Our partner for this service in the US is a technology startup called Ridecell. Since March this year, BMW Connected Drive users in the US can download the BMW Connected app, a customized digital companion available from the Apple Store. This app offers customers convenient access to a highly personalized world of intelligent connected digital mobility services. It is a cross-platform mobility concept that is based on an open mobility cloud. The cloud gives us an even better picture of our customers' wishes, and we can provide an even more tailored service. And that is exactly what we're aiming for: the best services in our competitive field. Reach Now and BMW Connected clearly show that we're pushing forward with the implementation of our strategy number one next. We're strengthening our core business, working intensively on operational excellence. At the same time, we're making swift progress in further developing our service range. We've set ourselves a number of ambitious goals for the current business year: a slight increase in automotive sales, which would be another all-time high for the BMW Group; a slight increase in group EBT, which would be another best result for our company; and an EBIT margin in the automotive segment that remains within our target range of 8 to 10%. Our first quarter was a good start to the year. For the sixth time in a row, we achieved a new first quarter sales record with more than 557,000 vehicles sold. Our BMW Mini and BMW Motorrad brands posted their best first quarter figures yet. Group profit before tax was more than 2.3 billion euros. That is our highest first quarter figure ever. Group profit rose to more than 1.6 billion euros. And our EBIT margin in the automotive segment currently stands at 9.4%, which is at the upper end of our projected target range of 8 to 10%. So after 3 months, we remain on track to achieve our targets for 2016. This assumes, of course, that business conditions remain stable. A number of risks could potentially affect our business development, such as the continuing normalization of the Chinese market, recessive developments in some emerging markets, and political uncertainty in Europe. And not to be forgotten, market conditions in the all-important market of the United States. This year, they appear to be becoming more challenging. In addition, the premium segment remains highly competitive. On the other hand, the forecast growth in the global automobile market is expected to provide momentum. And one of the greatest contributors to our business development will be our attractive range of new BMW Mini and Rolls-Royce vehicles. The new BMW 7 Series has been available with the full range of engines since March. The new BMW X1 is proving extremely popular with strong sales growth. The X1 long version is due for market launch in China in May. It will be manufactured at our plant in Tichy. The new Mini convertible has been on the market since March. And at Rolls-Royce, a new convertible, Dawn, will add further impetus to sales. Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, we're shaping the transformation of individual mobility. We're working from a position of strength with a solid financial foundation. I remain confident that the BMW Group is on track for continued success in its centenary year 2016 and beyond. Thank you very much for your attention. So much, Mr. Krüger, thank you. And now Dr. Eichiner, please. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning from my side as well. The BMW Group made a positive start to 2016. In the first 3 months, automotive sales climbed to over 550,000 vehicles. Both deliveries and group earnings before tax reached new first quarter highs. The EBIT margin of 9.4% for the automotive segment was also within our target range. The company is looking to build on a successful 2015 financial year and has set itself ambitious targets for 2016. We're maintaining our guidance for the full year. The first quarter fulfilled our expectations in a volatile market environment. In Europe, our premium brands are in strong demand, and our BMW X models above all remain popular. With its attractive product portfolio, the BMW Group is in a good position. In China, sales improved in the first 3 months after a weaker 2015. Our X models and the revised 3 Series sedan have been well received by customers. The company also benefited from the healthy development of the overall market. Over the course of the year, we expect sales to receive a further boost from the new locally produced X1. Full availability of the new 7 Series over the next few months will also have a positive impact. The BMW Group and its Chinese dealer network has adapted to new conditions in the market. In general, we will see growth potential in the Chinese market. The US car market has reached a high level overall. The trend towards SUVs continues in North America, also due to low oil prices. The BMW Group set the right course early on and is now in the process of expanding the production capacity for the X models. We have taken into account the changes in demand for sedans and adjusted our planning. The measures we have implemented will have a positive impact on the sales situation in the second half of the year. Now let's take a look at earnings performance at group level. First quarter revenues totaled 20.85 billion and were therefore on par with last year. Compared with the previous year's high level, translation effects in several of the main currencies resulted in lower revenues. Adjusted for this factor, revenues increased slightly. BMW Group pre-tax earnings increased to 2.37 billion, a slight increase of 4.4% over the first quarter of last year. At group level, the EBT margin stood at 11.4%. Profitability therefore reached the same high level as the previous year. The BMW Group continues to focus its capital expenditure on strengthening its future competitiveness. The company invested a total of 405 million euros in products, equipment and other intangible assets in the first quarter. This no longer includes capitalized development costs. It is usual for first quarter capital expenditure to be lower. The main focus of our capital expenditure was on preparations for the ramp-up of new models. As already announced in March, we have redefined our CAPEX ratio so that it no longer includes capitalized development costs. As a result, we are now targeting a CAPEX ratio of less than 5% of revenue. In the first quarter, the ratio stood at 1.9% due to seasonal factors. The ratio for the full year should be on par with last year's. The figure for 2015 was 4.2%. Research and development spending for the first quarter reached 974 million euros. This is an increase of 5.2% over the same period of last year. R&D activities in the first 3 months concentrated on new vehicle development and refining future technologies, such as driver assistance systems. Further electrification of our vehicle fleet is another priority. The 3 Series and the 2 Series Active Toro were released on the market as hybrid models in the first quarter. This will be followed by the plug-in hybrid variant of the new 7 Series in the summer. This will strengthen our company's competitive position and will underline its focus on sustainable mobility. The R&D ratio for the first quarter was 4.7%. As usual, this will increase over the course of the year. The ratio for the full year should be on par with last year's level of 5.6%. BMW Group liquidity remained solid at 11.2 billion at the end of March. This high level of liquidity underscores the company's flexibility and financial strength. The company has further diversified its refinancing portfolio. Over the past 2 months, the BMW Group launched its first public bond offering at attractive conditions in China and the United States. Let's now take a look at the individual segments. First, the automotive segment. Revenues for the first quarter totaled 18.81 billion euros and are therefore at the same high level as last year. During the reporting period, translation effects of some major currencies had a dampening effect. First quarter automotive EBIT totaled 1.76 million euros, which is slightly below last year's figure. Dampening effects resulted from higher personnel costs as well as increased depreciation and marketing costs. The EBIT margin for the automotive segment stood at 9.4%, therefore remaining in the upper half of our target range of 8 to 10% like it did last year. As expected, pricing will remain a challenge in 2016. Pricing deteriorated slightly in the first quarter compared with last year. During the first 3 months, the vehicle mix included a slightly higher percentage of compact vehicles. The earnings contribution of our Chinese joint venture BBA reported in the at equity result was lower than the previous year. This mostly reflects preparations for the ramp-up of new vehicles. Over the course of the year, the new locally produced X1 and the 2 Series Active Toro will provide positive momentum. The at equity result for the first quarter also contains initial expenses in connection with the stake acquired in the mapping service here. The segment's financial result for the first quarter was a negative amount of 29 million. This was an overall improvement of 131 million euros year on year. This positive development was mainly due to the market evaluation of raw material and currency derivatives. Pre-tax earnings saw a solid increase of 6.1% to 1.73 billion euros. Let's take a brief look at the segment's cash flow. Due to a 971 million euros higher increase in working capital compared with the same period in 2015, free cash flow in the automotive segment decreased to 532 million. As announced, we expect free cash flow for the full year to be above 3 billion euros. At the end of the quarter, net financial assets in the automotive segment totaled 17.5 billion. Now let's move on to the financial services segment. BMW Group Financial Services continued on its growth path in the first quarter. The focus remains on profitable new business and achieving a good balance between leasing and financing. In the first 3 months, the segment concluded more than 410,000 new financing and leasing contracts with customers, 7.5% more than in the first quarter of last year. The volume of new business saw a solid increase to 12.46 billion. BMW Financial Services managed a portfolio of 4.4 million customer contracts as per March 31st. This represents an increase of 8.1% over the previous year. The Asia-Pacific region again reported a significant growth of 18.3%. The Americas and Middle East Africa regions also achieved solid growth rates. In the EU bank, the portfolio of customer financing contracts increased by 3.5%. The penetration rate that is the percentage of new BMW Group vehicles financed or leased by the financial services segment, reached 46.1% at the end of the quarter. This is an increase of 1.2 percentage points year on year. First quarter pre-tax earnings climbed by 2% to reach a total of 570 million euros. The risk situation in the segment remained mostly stable from the previous year, in line with our expectations. The premium segment of the European used car market experienced a slight increase in prices in the first quarter. In North America, prices decreased slightly. The credit risk situation continued to improve. The credit loss ratio for the entire portfolio remained low at 0.29%. We expect residual value and credit risks to remain stable for the current year. The segment takes a comprehensive, proactive approach to risk management and makes appropriate provisions for business risk. Let's move on to our motorcycle segment. The segment continued on its successful course in the first quarter of this year after a record year 2015. In fact, BMW Motorrad had its best ever start to the motorcycle season with sales growth of 7.7%. We delivered more than 33,000 BMW motorcycles to customers worldwide, the highest ever for a first quarter. Increases were posted mainly in Asia and Europe. The segment's positive business development is backed by our strong model lineup. The long-distance Enduro, the BMW R1200 GS, and its sister model, the BMW R1200 GS Adventure, were in high demand in the first quarter. The BMW S1000RR and BMW S1000XR models were also very popular. Segment revenues reached a record first quarter high of 582 million euros, an increase of 2.6% over the previous year. EBIT for the same period decreased to 94 million due to higher fixed costs for projects relating to strategy implementation. We continue to work intensively towards our ambitious targets for 2020 and expect to see further positive development overall in the motorcycle segment. I would like to finish with a few words about the outlook for the company. The BMW Group will continue to target profitable, sustainable growth in 2016. We expect the positive business development of the first 3 months to continue over the course of the year. We are committed to our targets for 2016, assuming conditions remain stable for the rest of the year. The BMW Group is targeting a slight increase in pre-tax earnings for the full year. The automotive segment is expected to report slight increases in both sales and revenues. The EBIT margin for the automotive segment will remain within the 8 to 10% range. With attractive new models, we expect BMW Motorrad to report a slight increase in deliveries compared with the previous year. For financial services, we expect return on equity to remain on par with last year and therefore above our target of at least 18%. I'd like to emphasize that all our targets depend on stable political and economic conditions. Actual business performance may deviate from our present forecast if global economic and political uncertainties become even greater than expected. Ladies and gentlemen, over the coming months and years, we will gradually be implementing our strategy number one next. We're setting the course for the future with targeted investments in new technologies and drivetrains and therefore in the competitiveness of the BMW Group. With its flexible structures and attractive model lineup, the company is well positioned. The BMW Group stands for innovation and financial strength. Our focus on globally balanced sustainable growth allows us to offset fluctuations in individual markets and respond flexibly to changing conditions, especially in times of high volatility. Financial strength, attractive premium brands and products, as well as high flexibility, form a solid foundation for the long-term success of the BMW Group. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Eichner. Ladies and gentlemen, colleagues, we now have time to take your questions. There'll be technical information about the conference and then we get started. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin with our Q&A session. If you'd like to ask a question, please push the telephone keys 0 and 1 Your questions will then be taken in the order received. Should you be listening over the loudspeaker today, I would like to ask you to ask your questions using the telephone receiver. Thank you, and just a minute for the first question. First question by Felix Rieler, DPA AFX. Your line's open. Good morning. I have a number of questions. First, about sales. You're saying your target for 2016 is to remain the leading premium manufacturer. How do you want to go on about this? There's increasing competition by the E-Class. Will there be major marketing campaigns or a discount campaign? And then one thing about sales is the U.S. How do you explain that sales have gone down? Is that related to the diesel issue? And what do you expect for the rest of the year? Will the development pick up a little then compared to the first quarter? And then a question about financial results. That was the main reason why group net profit improved in your P&L. This was related to other financial. Here the burdens were greater. Maybe you can explain how that came about, that that has decreased. And my last question, environmental organizations raised accusations that CO2 values in their own measurements are so high that this cannot be explained by deviations between road and test bench. How do you position yourself as the BMW Group? Thank you, Mr. Frieler. I propose that Mr. Krüger will talk about sales and answer these questions, targets, increasing competition, and exhaust gas measurements, diesel, CO2, and Mr. Eichiner will then comment on financial result and give you a few more details. Mr. Krüger. Well, your question about worldwide sales. Of course, in 2016, we want to be the leading manufacturer of premium cars. On the press conference for the balance sheet, we also said that we'll draw up the accounts at the end of the year. With the BMW Group, with our brands BMW and MINI, we are the world market leader. In a direct comparison with Mercedes in Q1, we're slightly behind. But at this point, as I said, we draw up the accounts at the end of the year, and then we'll see. Where do we get our impetus? Well, there's the X1 long version in China, which will be at the dealerships soon, so it will affect in the second half of 2016. Then the 7 Series, as I mentioned, available end of March in all of its variants. And further variants will be launched in the second half of the year, such as the BMW M or the plug-in hybrid. So from this point of view, we're pretty optimistic that in the second half of the year, we'll get the growth we're waiting for. But I'm sure it'll be distributed over the quarters. Then United States, that's something you mentioned. We have a declining development there. Well, in the United States, we're about to optimize what we have on stock. We want to respond to fluctuations in demand, also in the premium segment. In Q1 2016, the premium segment declined in total for the first time ever in the U.S. And as we did last year in China, we will react early to changes in demand. We'll optimize our stock and we'll optimize the pipeline so that in the second half of the year, we will certainly grow again. I expect development in the U.S. probably to continue right up to the summer. Will continue to be a little more difficult, but then there'll be a recovery because the market is showing us there is room for positive growth. Well, in the U.S., the SUV segment is growing very strongly, not the car segment as such. And we've increased our capacities for the SUV segment in Spartanburg. And then second half of the year, there'll be another trend mix and more SUVs. So much for the sales situation worldwide. Something about China in the first quarter, we grew by more than 10%. And the approach of responding to fluctuations in demand was turned out to be well proven, Mr. Eichiner. Well, you mentioned it, financial result effect coming from other financial results. Essentially, this is an effect coming from the previous year. Previous year, we had a strongly negative effect of interest in raw material derivatives that we use for hedging purposes, and the effect will not be so pronounced this year, and this is how we can explain the difference between Q1 2015 and Q1 2016. We still have the one question left. Yes, right, the CO2 issue, Mr. Krüger. And diesel, right, yeah. Well, the test reports were published 28th of April on the tested vehicles. And for BMW, there were three vehicles, the 320 diesel, the 260 and the Grand Tourer, and the 530 diesel. And all three vehicles were tested. And the result was that they are all in group one of inconspicuous car, so there's no need for action. Second thing, we also had results from England before, which confirmed this. For BMW Group, I can say we do not manipulate anything, and that was confirmed. There's no software manipulation for engines or anything. Then you asked about CO2 or diesel. Just one other thing, perhaps, with the diesel. For Brussels, we have the rear driving emission test and the worldwide duty harmonized truck procedure. And there, we'll have a test which reflects real practice much better. And as BMW Group, we welcome the fact that Brussels has taken this decision. Of course, we'll meet these test requirements. Deviation between laboratory conditions and current test conditions on the road, that was always a thing because in many aspects, physics are just different. Then a last word on CO2. BMW Group was one of the few companies who met the CO2 obligations from 1995. And CO2 continues to be an issue which requires us to make investments into engines in order to meet the 2020 targets. But that includes electromobility. Okay, next question, please. Next question, Edward Tyler, Reuters. Your line's open. Thank you so much. I have a question about personnel. There were media reports that the BMW i8 development team was actually lured away by a Chinese competitor. How do you face these challenges? More and more things like that are going to happen. You know, the fact that you are likely to lose good people, that's one question. The other question is residual values and how they develop in North America. Can you elaborate a little more on how residual values of sedans have developed in the past quarter? Okay, thank you, Mr. Taylor. Perhaps I can tell you something about personnel and i8. Please, the rumors are not true. It's not true that the entire i8 development team has left the company. We're talking about three people. And that's really a very small percentage of the entire department working on the I. It's natural that there's fluctuations among the staff, and it's never a good thing, that's true, but it's not that we have to be concerned about consequences. No, this really only affects three people who have left the company. Now, the residual values, North America, development for the sedans, I'd say Mr. Krüger could answer that, or Mr. Eichner. Okay, Mr. Eichner. Well, okay, the shift from the sedans towards SUVs created some pressure on the sedans, and that's why we have a slight deterioration of residual values, which could be observed. But we have taken precautions. All in all, this is not alarming because we have a very good positive development with the SUVs. But sure, we're always careful and we always try to take countermeasures together with our dealerships. Thank you, Mr. Eichner. Next question, please. Elisabeth Behrmann, Bloomberg News. Your line is open. Good morning, gentlemen. I have three questions as well. You mentioned the pricing environment. Could you provide a little more details? What's your estimate for the rest of the year and the product mix under the aspect of compact vehicles and what effect that will have on EBIT and the margin? Secondly, I'd like to know, are you happy with the ramp up of the 7 Series? It's more than in the year before, but compared to, you're comparing it to a model that's being phased out. And thirdly, could you describe more closely what kind of currency effects you're expecting for the year? Thank you, Mrs. Behrmann. I'd say the pricing environment and currency effects, that's Mr. Eichner's topic, and the ramp-up 7 Series, Mr. Krüger. Herr Krüger, perhaps you'll start. Well, from our point of view, the 7 Series took off to a good start. I'm sure you can only assess the results of the 7 Series over the next few months to come when several of our models are on the market. For China, the 730i is an important model. That's the volume model in that market. And that only arrived at the dealerships end of March. So we cannot assess the performance of the 730i in China or other markets yet. It's simply too early. Now, compared to last year, we must say, we didn't only have a phase-out at the time. In China, the 7 Series was the old variant still available right until autumn. And in the European markets, the 7 Series took off to a good start. And in the U.S., we haven't been on the market long enough yet either. So it's really too early, Mrs. Behrmann, to give an overall assessment. But plus 20% growth compared to the previous year, and we have competitors who, on the other hand, also have a decline in the same segment. So you really have to see the competitive environment. Thank you. Then, Mr. Eichner, your question about the pricing environment. Well, that's not a uniform picture we draw here. Looking into the different regions, we have different results. In the first quarter, in China, for example, prices were fairly stable. In Europe, there was even a slight positive development. In the U.S., a slight decline in prices. There's still a bit of pressure on the market there, and there's a few reasons for that. Firstly, last year we had quite fierce competition in the U.S. Many companies tried to compensate for a weak market in China. There was also good currency effects, and all that has led to quite some pressure on the market. Mr. Krüger already mentioned that we therefore corrected our stocks, so that takes some pressure out, and the shift from the sedans into the SUV segment also exerts some pricing pressure on the sedans, and this is, you know, against the background of developments in the U.S. market. While taken all in all, we have a slight deterioration by a few basic points in prices, but we're assuming that with the ramp-up of the new models, basically, the situation will remain almost unchanged compared to the previous year. Well, at least that's possible. You know that the 7 Series will continue to ramp up. The X1 will be coming, as I said, and a couple of other models, and all of this should have positive effects. Same, the adjustment of our inventory, and that will relieve some of the pressure on prices. Then, on your question about currency and exchange rates, we have positive effects this year. We always take raw material prices and currency effects together. It'll be a low three-digit million amount, which we can expect as tailwind this year. And we have, you know, we're pretty well hedged too. Thank you. Next question, please. Ilka Hün, Dow Jones, your line's open. Good morning. For the exchange rate, I also have a question here. At least according to our estimates obtained from our analysts, revenues were estimated to be much higher. And if I understood you correctly, in the first quarter, it was mainly renminbi and British pound which had negative effects. Perhaps you could give some explanations here and then take a glance at the rest of the year, because I understood your answer from before to say there is a low three-digit million amount that you expect to be getting us tailwind. So over the course of the year, some things will have to change. And then I'd like you to give us an outlook of the next few quarters. Is the first quarter the weakest of the year, or perhaps the other way around due to the model change with the 5 Series? Will that have negative effects on your earnings? Dr. Eichner? Well, generally speaking, we do not give any guidance for quarters, only for the entire year, and we would like to stick with that. Now back to your questions. Currency effects, exchange rates. In the first quarter, not a lot of the expected effects has really taken place. That has also got to do with our hedging policy. We're expecting more of this to happen in the second quarter. The positive effects, well, we're still waiting for them. Now in terms of revenues, as you rightly said, a few of the major currencies had negative effects. This is due to the development of the euro, of course, which has become stronger in the first quarter. Now, adjusted for currency, revenues in the automobile segment would have increased by 1%. Now, what you can't see is the wholesale effect. Due to inventory adjustments, we have fewer wholesales in the first quarter. We are currently building our pipeline, so that will be coming in the second quarter. And that also had a dampening effect on revenues in the first quarter. However, this all went completely in line with our expectations, or as we had planned. We will build up inventory for the second quarter, which we will then sell, and the same will happen in the third quarter for the fourth quarter, so the quarters will not all be uniform. Thank you. Next question, please. Christian Hepner, Automotive News Zero. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. I have a couple of questions on your model policy. First of all, the I-Series appears to be doing very poorly with minus 23%. That's the weakest quarter since Q2 2014. So what happened here? Well, it's quite feasible that seen over the entire year, you will not even achieve a stable sales figure for these models. My second question on the Z4, again, the volume actually dropped to a few thousand units, which is less than half a percentage point. Now, if you were to stop the project with Toyota, would anybody really notice? Is there something like, is there a reason to continue to be involved in that segment even? And then a question on China. Debt ratio is increasing, not even Apple managed to sell its iPhones there, but cars are still being sold in large numbers. So is that only through incentives, or can you give us some more details about how Chinese prime or premium customers think? Thank you, Mr. Hetzner. I propose the model policy, the ICS and Z4 will be covered by Mr. Krüger and China, Mr. Eichinger. Mr. Krüger. I'll start with the WI series. We've got two figures. Since 2013, we've now sold more than 50,000 BMW i. Q1, more than 5,000. You mentioned that there was a decrease. Well, that is, among others, related to two issues. One thing, just take Germany and a discussion on the purchase premium. Now, that leads to some restraint among customers until decisions have been taken. You know, right now customers are waiting until decisions have been taken. Now, a program was decided on, together with the federal government, that in which the automobile manufacturers will also be involved, and that will come in force in May. Now, another impulse for the sale of i models, there'll be an i3 coming on the market with an extended reach, extended by more than 50%, so that car will have a reach of 300 kilometers in a test cycle. In reality, we're talking about roughly 200 kilometers reach. That will come on the market second half of the year, and there's customers who are simply waiting for the extended reach. But then we'll be able to offer four vehicles and the new reach with racks, without racks, so the customer can choose. So in view of this, I think there'll be more impulses also for the sales of the BMW i-Series. Now, with the i8, that always has a certain life cycle, that's clear. Second question, the Z4, is it worthwhile to stay in that segment? Well, BMW has a long road to tradition. The Z4 was launched in 2009, and it's pretty far at the end of its life cycle, but with the Toyota Corporation, or with them, we developed a sports car, and we would like to continue with that, and we will keep offering a car in that segment. So the Roadster segment isn't very large, but for the brand and for strengthening the brand, it's very important. And the cooperation with Toyota is very successful. Mr. Eichner, you mentioned the development in China, and I'd like to talk about the background here, because that's what your question was. Why is there still increasing demand for cars in China? Well, generally, long-term trend is still positive, I think. This is related to infrastructure investments that the Chinese government has made and continues to make. It's related to increasing urbanization still taking place, especially in the western part of the country. And as long as these investments continue, mobility will increase and the need for mobility will increase, and that's the foundation for our business. In all, we're expecting the overall market in China to increase right up to 28 million vehicles, and we haven't reached these yet, so there's still a good perspective. Doesn't mean that there's a linear upwards trend every year. It's quite well conceivable that there are some years among these that are not that positive, but there's a general upwards trend against this background, and in view of the fact that there is a very low mobility rate, there's, I mean, very few people who have a car in China. So that's the long-term trend, and that's positive. Then you also need to see that cars as a whole have become more inexpensive. Last year, we observed a normalization, which entailed considerable reductions in prices. So that means many Chinese customers can now more easily afford a car, and that's probably also a reason why the Chinese still buy cars. To me, these are the essential factors that have positive influence in our business in the future. Thank you. Next question, please. Irina Preisinger, Reuters. Good morning, gentlemen. One other question about the United States. Could you give us some figures, perhaps? What's the decrease in sedans that you have planned for the U.S., that you're planning to deliver? And then the e-car premium, I'd like to know, what do you expect specifically? What will the effects be for BMW? And could you give us an idea? Will that benefit the e-cars or the hybrid models? And from the manufacturer side, do you think the Germans will benefit more from this or the international manufacturers? And with the new i-model that you've announced, which will come on the market after 2020, isn't that a little late? Wouldn't you have to be launching that much earlier if that bonus or premium is coming now? And perhaps do you have to advertise all of this more also within the company so that more people buy these cars? And then digital services. At the beginning, we heard in Las Vegas that you want to put up a platform and there's new offers running on it that you want to market. So what's the situation with that project? Okay, we'll begin with e-mobility and Mr. Krüger. The question was the purchase premium. Just to add something here, what's important is, first of all, the overall package that we've decided on in Germany. We always said it's necessary that manufacturers who work in the reach of their cars, that they provide an increased reach. This is why I mentioned the i3 with 50% increased reach. Then, from the point of view of customers, it's important that we have an existing charging infrastructure along the motorways, in the cities, at the workplaces. And the third point, subsidies in Germany. I mean, the government is making available 100 million euros. So an increased number of vehicles in our fleet is also an issue. And also an increased number of cars bought by authorities and government. Well, in all markets and in all countries in the world that we've been observing since 2013, in the Netherlands, for example, they have an e-mobility share of roughly 10%. And, for example, in Amsterdam, they have a very good charging infrastructure. There's also financial subsidies. And they have proven that you can increase e-mobility with various measures. At the moment, we're seeing first positive demand for the plug-in hybrid vehicles. And as of May, there'll be a 3,000 euro premium for buying a car like that and 4,000 for the battery electric vehicles, such as the i3. So I'm quite confident that we will see more demand for these cars. Then you asked about the iNext. You asked whether it would be a little too late launching it in 2020. Well, what we said about the iNext is, I mean, that's the next step of innovation. This is not just an e-drive. This is also, and that's what we also wanted to do with the vision car. This is about autonomous driving, about interior of the future, lightweight construction, and next generation of e-mobility. And all of this taken together simply takes a bit of time until you've got such a car ready and can market it. Thanks. And then BMW Connected. There's two statements I can make here. For one, in Seattle, we started Reach Now, which is related to this topic. And first applications and demand are greater than expected, and our mobility services will be further expanded. And We'll offer long-term use. We'll also offer the car to be brought to the customer. We offer to, you know, to have the car with the driver. So that's all on the road. And the first feedback we got from Seattle is positive. Now, BMW Connected, you mentioned, Seth, and since end of March, BMW Connected is available in the U.S. It's being intensively used, and with the cloud, this is how we're offering our customer services, and we're further extending our customer services online in order to be able to offer these personalized, digitalized services. We've had positive feedback from our customers so far. Now, before getting back to U.S. and Mr. Eichner, I think this is what you meant with digitization and new platform U.S., right? Okay. Then, Mr. Eichner. Well, Mrs. Preisinger, you wanted a few figures about the U.S. business. Well, in 2015, we sold 404,000 BMWs and Minis. About 30% were SUVs, so 70% sedans. And this year, we'll try to increase the share of SUVs up to 40%, so that means there are 60% left for the sedans. Thank you. Is there any further questions? Currently, I have no further questions here. Okay, then I'd like to say thanks to all of the colleagues who dialed in today, and I hope you all have a nice day and see you soon.